It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Wes Moss here, Ryan Ely, and I just chatting about, let's call it Christmas has come early. Christmas has come early. The U.S. and the China and the Chinese come to a phase one trade deal for real this time. It's an actual trade deal. We're actually getting a trade deal, which is a very big deal. Market's up again this week, again, up a half percent for, or almost half a percent for the Dow. Up about 70 basis points for the S&P 500. Just a quick programming note. You can start, this is the final push. And I was there on the very first day, which was Thursday, about 2 weeks ago. But here we are on the final push, final day for Clark Howard Christmas Kids. So Clark will be, donations actually, you can start now. It's to open it up at 9 o'clock. Clark will be there starting at 10 o'clock this morning. On air, Clark will be, so there's two locations you can go to. Remember, this year there are 10,000, there are 10,000 foster children in the system here in Georgia. And Clark Howard's Christmas Kids is really a way to make sure they have something on the holidays and for Christmas. Some sort of present under the tree. So the deal is you go to one of these Walmarts. Today, Clark will be at the Cobb Parkway Walmart in Marietta. He'll be on at 10 o'clock. If you're in East Cobb or if you're in Marietta, go to Cobb Parkway. Clark will be on at 10 o'clock. And then there's another, if you're in Lilburn, the Walmart on Lawrenceville Highway, it will be doing a Clark Howard's Christmas Kids at the same time. So there's two locations for you to go to. At that location, Brian Kilmeade from Fox will be there signing books as well. So please come see us here at either the Cobb area, the Cobb Parkway Marietta Walmart or the Lawrenceville Highway Walmart in Lilburn and contribute to 10,000 foster kids here in the state of Georgia having something here for Christmas. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Talking about Christmas for markets, really this trade deal. I mean, we have been talking about this for almost 2 years. We have been over this and over and my updates. I can tell you, I do a market update every morning for Scott Slade, the Atlanta Morning News. It plays around 7:45, 7:55 in the morning. And almost three quarters of every market update I've done for the past 2 years has something to do with trade. The market has been hanging on every word between President Trump and President Xi. And all of those around the trade process here between these two countries, because these are two heavyweights. It's a very big deal to get some progress here. And there have been a lot of doubts that it would happen. There are a lot of strategists that have come out that came out over that period of time. Even some of the most bullish ones that I think we're going to get a trade deal. There were many periods of time where even the most optimistic about having something get through or get done kind of threw in the towel and said, look, we don't think there's going to be a trade deal. We have stood firm on the thought that we would see some sort of compromise between our country and the Chinese economy. And that's exactly what has happened. So we've been talking about this for a couple of years. January 22nd, by the way, of 2018, you've got to go back almost 2 years, the tariffs began. Trump administration announced tariffs on imported solar cells and washing machines. And that's really how it got started. It was solar cells and washing machines. And China said, look, we don't like it. And it got worse and it got worse and it got worse from there. So here we are on this past Friday, an official deal. The president announced it. Larry Kudlow announced it. So part of the what is the deal? What are the details in the deal? As part of this new phase one deal, the U.S. has canceled plans to impose fresh tariffs that were supposed to start on, well, today, December 15th. There were going to be new tariffs on $156 billion worth of annual imports of Chinese-made goods. That would have been smartphones, toys, consumer electronics that were set to go into effect today. And if you think about this, we know, or the administration knows, even though they haven't explicitly said this, and in fact, they've said the opposite of this, we really all know that tariffs are, they're a tax. It's more money that you're paying because the United States imports a good and slaps a 10 or 15 or 25% tariff on it. And it's just a, it's a tax that you end up having to pay. Somebody's got to pay it. Either the company raises the price and you pay, or they don't raise the price and the company eats the difference. So it's a tax on somebody. And the administration has said that it really isn't, but we all know that it is. And we, and they knew that going into the holiday season, the last thing they want to have happen is the American consumer, which has been the workhorse or the plow horse of this economy for the last decade, to get hit with more tariffs on the very things that they shop for. I mean, think about this. What are you shopping for this summer, this Christmas season? Yeah, smartphones or smartphone accessories. I know one of my children wants ear whatever you call them. I think they're earbuds from Apple, which, by the way, you can't, I couldn't even find. You want to go find an earbud? You can find different versions of it. You can find the Beats version. But if you want to get earbuds, at least this is Lynn telling me this, my wife shopping for this, can't even get them. So accessories for smartphones, toys, of course. I've got four young kids at my house. Of course, toys are coming to the Moss house. I've got a three-year-old still. I have four boys. My youngest is three. And then I have a seven-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. So this is impacting families in America, and can then consumer electronics. What else do kids want these days? And the Trump administration understood that, hey, if we have new tariffs set December 15th, it's going to hit everybody in the wallet or the pocketbook over the holiday season. So let's avoid that. And that's exactly what they did. So the U.S. will also slash the tariff rate on about half on the roughly $120 billion worth of goods to 7.5% from 15%. They're still going. This is not all the tariffs are gone. Remember, this is a phase one trade deal. This is not. In fact, Larry Kudlow this weekend or on Friday, I can't tell. I watched a 5-minute interview with him. I think he said phase two starts immediately. I think he said it 20 times. So they are immediately jumping to phase two today. Immediately. It's all about phase two. Like, phase one's already done. Now we're all about phase two. So there will still be tariffs of 25% remaining on about $250 billion worth of Chinese goods. So it's still a huge, there's still a lot of tariffs in place here. That's machinery, a ton of different electronics still as well, furniture. Now, what's China going to do? What's China going to do now that we are starting to de-escalate the trade war? Again, exactly what we thought would happen. It took probably even longer than we expected. But we never threw in the towel here on Money Matters thinking that it wasn't going to happen. There's too much economic interest to the upside for these two heavyweights to just stop hitting each other. I keep thinking about this tariff war, this trade war, as two heavyweights, and they just keep hurting each other and hurting each other. And at some point, both sides just know that, hey, guys, it's just better that we stop doing this to each other. Chinese economy has been hit very hard by these tariffs. Their stock market's been hit very hard. Our economy has actually done okay through this and still pretty well through this. In fact, I think the market was getting used to the thought that here we are. It's probably something that is now never going to go away. So it's almost like, are we going to ever get peace in the Middle East? The answer is probably never. You're going to continue to see conflict there for the rest of our lives. The best case scenario is to have less conflict and less lives lost, and a higher level of peace, a lower level of conflict. The conflict will probably never go away. I think it's the same thing when it comes to our relationship, our economic relationship with China. I don't think the conflict now is really ever going away. We're not going to just have, oh, we had a 18-month trade battle, and now all of a sudden everything's fine. We are in a better place today than we have ever been with China. China now respects our economy. They are beginning to, by the way, in this phase one deal, respect our intellectual property rights. They are beginning to respect that they can't just blatantly counterfeit our goods and our intellectual property. They can't now, there are already provisions in this phase one trade deal that they're going to open their markets to our financial services companies. Before, that was not the case. So here we are making a giant leap of progress between these two countries. Remember, though, we are a fully democratic capitalist society and economy. The Chinese are just not. They are not going to ever just change from being a communist party to what the kind of economy and political system we have here in the United States. That's not going to happen. So we can't expect them to just become the very open book that the United States is. We can expect them to play ball and play fairly, and that's exactly what they're beginning to do. There is a long way to go, but they are now going to play more by the rules that we expect in a free, capitalist, open market, free market economy. And that is that is something that I think we're going to have to get used to, is that this is going to be – we are beginning to make this relationship a better relationship. It is not the end of this. This will – we'll be talking about this next year. We'll be talking about this in 5 years. We'll be talking about this in 10 years because these are the two largest economies on the planet. We're a almost $25 trillion economy. They're almost a $15 trillion economy. These problems and these conflicts and this tension, it's not getting solved overnight. But what we've had here is this massive escalation to the point where it threatened trade and commerce that we don't want to have completely threatened. And it's now on the mend and getting better. It'll continue to get better, but we're going to have bumps in the road. I think the market in general is getting used to that this is going to be a conversation for a very long time. We can do fine with the tariffs. The U.S. economy has proven in the last 2 years to still be in good shape, even though we've got this, call it additional tariff/tax on one of our major trading partners. But here we are now headed into 2020. Even though we've been fine, this now adds to what we should probably see for gross domestic product. Nobody knows exactly what that number is going to be. Larry Kudlow on Friday said it could. Even Larry Kudlow said, I don't know, 0.5% of GDP, maybe better. Maybe it's 0.75%. Maybe it's 1%. But I think that beyond now less in tariffs, so less in tax on the consumer and to businesses in the United States, and a picture that becomes more and more clear. So if you're a leader of a business, a CEO, a CFO, a CEO making big decisions, now we know that at least tariffs or the trade war is de-escalating and not getting worse. That makes me more open to making new commitments to maybe invest in a new drug, invest in a new plant, invest in a new product. Those are the kind of decisions that can get put on hold when you've got this massive cloud of uncertainty. That cloud of uncertainty today, those clouds are clearing. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Christmas has come early when it comes to the relationship between the United States and China. We have a trade deal. It's phase one, and we've already begun to work on phase two. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. More Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. By the way, phone lines open. We're live here today until 10 o'clock, and then we'll be, and then Clark Howard will be on live from the Cobb Parkway Marietta Walmart. Brian Kilmeade and our team will also be at the Lawrenceville Highway Lilburn Walmart for Clark Howard's Christmas Kids. We're in year 29 of doing this. There are 10,000 foster kids here in the state of Georgia. Please come help us. Please come see us. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters right here at WSB Radio. Remember back in the summer, it was a late summer, there was a major freak out when it came to interest rates. The story was that if interest rates invert or the yield curve inverts, which is a relationship that says that the market is thinking interest rates have to go lower in the future. And why would interest rates go lower? Well, they go lower because the Fed would have to cut and the economy is slowing down. So it forecast bad news for the economy, an inverted yield curve. And we've been watching this really for the last, again, almost the last 2 years as the yield curve got closer and closer to inverting. A lot of that, it came during this whole massive standoff between the United States and China and the trade war. So here we are in the middle of a trade war. The market is, the bond market is sensing, the economy has to be slowing down or we're going to get a slowdown. So what happened during that two-year period, one of the, call it a barometer of slowing economic growth, not negative, but just slowing growth, was this yield curve question. Does the 10-year, so the normal yield curve, longer-term interest rate should be a lot higher than short-term rates. So I think if you get a CD at the bank, a 5-year CD should pay you a lot more than a 1-year CD. And it's the same way in the bond market. We had a period of time where this summer that inverted or went negative. On August 27th, the 2-year treasury yield was more than the 10-year. So we had an inverted yield curve. Now, what was interesting about that, it only happened for a couple of days. We do know that inverted yield curves have predicted recessions. We have had a couple of false positives. Now, from what I'm seeing this past summer, that was a false positive. It was only inverted, first of all, for a couple of days. Right now, this economy seems way too strong to be headed into a recession. And I think that we're starting to see that around the world. Remember we talked about, and this is back in the summer, there was $16 trillion in negative yielding debt. Part of that had to do with this inverted yield curve. Hey, the world's slowing down. Rates have to go lower. Well, rates have kind of bottomed out. If you look around the world, interest rates are going up in Germany. They're going up in Australia. They're, again, going up in the United Kingdom. So this yield curve inversion has now backed away for the last several months as the global marketplace, the global economy is saying, hey, we might actually see some real growth here, which, again, is another positive for this market. We'll talk about NAFTA 2.0, which, by the way, just happened this week as well. Lots of good news with trade. You're listening to Money Matters. More Money Matters right here at 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here Sunday morning. We're here until 10 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock, Clark Howard will be on live from the Cobb Marietta, or from the Walmart in Marietta on Cobb Parkway. So if you are in the area in Marietta, go see Clark and our team WSB Radio for Clark Howard's Christmas Kids. This is in the 29th year. There are 10,000 foster kids here in the state of Georgia that need your help. Clark's been and his team has been doing this for so many years now, almost three decades. But we need your help, and this is the final day. So 10 o'clock and just a little bit, you can go there right now. The Walmart in Marietta on Cobb Parkway. And then you've got the Walmart in Lilburn on Lawrenceville Highway as well. Again, you can head there right now and help our team buy Christmas presents for the 10,000 foster children here in the state of Georgia. By the way, in the Lilburn Walmart, if you're a fan of Fox or Fox News, Brian Kilmeade will be there signing his new book as well. So he has so many books, by the way. Kilmeade has, I can't even count how many, but this newest book is Sam Houston and the Alamo. So that's what it looks like he would be signing today at the Walmart. Either way, go say hi and help us out and help the 10,000 foster kids here in Georgia. Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers is the book. Now, I want to shift gears here for a minute. So we were talking about Christmas has come early when it comes to this economy because we got a trade deal done. We've been talking about trade for almost two straight years, ever since there was the first shot across the bow between the United States and China was tariffs on solar panels coming from China and washing machines. So it started out kind of benign. Who cares? Solar panels and washing machines, big deal. And then it just got worse and worse and worse from there. There were many strategists over this last two-year period that threw in the towel and said, I don't think we're going to get a deal. I don't think we're going to get a deal. We got a deal. We've been saying that we'd get some sort of deal because the economic interest of the two companies typically wins out. It's better for us to de-escalate this trade war than re-escalate this trade war, and that's what we've begun to do. Phase one is complete. It will be signed in the next couple of weeks. Phase two has started immediately. And even arguably an even bigger deal that gets absolutely overshadowed is that we have a new NAFTA deal. It's called USMCA. United States, Mexico, Canada, trade agreement. Yes, China's the biggest trade partner at $600+ billion. But guess what? Who's to the north of us? Canada, almost $600 billion in their own right. And who's to the south of us? Mexico, $550 billion. Put it together, those trading partners are over $1 trillion. So it's a bigger deal that we have a new deal in place. Call it NAFTA 2.0. I'm going to call it USMCA because that's the name of the deal. And that agreement happened this week as well, overshadowed by the trade news from China. But you now all of a sudden we have de-escalated this one of the largest impediments to economic growth that we've seen in the last decade. And now that's getting better. Not to mention global interest rates are starting to have bottomed, which is technically a good sign. The bond market saying, hey, we think the economies around the world, UK, Australia, Germany, getting better. Here in the United States, we know that we're already a very solid jobs economy. We added 266,000 new jobs for the month of November. The unemployment rate's down to 3.5%. Getting trade deals done is now even more positive for this economy. So I look at this as very good news heading into 2020. Now, I want to shift gears. If you've been thinking, now that I'm going to completely shift gears from global politics, economy, to something that I got a question a couple of weeks ago that Ryan and I wrote about it. I did some research to answer the question, if you will. And Ryan and I were just talking about this. And I didn't know if I was going to cover it on the show. And he said, I think everybody listening will have an interest in this question. And here goes. This has to do with debt. And it has to do with mortgages. It has to do with getting out of a mortgage. And a couple of weeks ago, when we started Clark Howard Christmas Kids, I had an AJC reader of the column that I do every 2 weeks in the business section say, Wes, you know, I heard you talk about happy retirees. One of the things that I haven't seen you write about, at least any time recently, you say happy retirees don't have mortgages. Well, great. Well, how do I get rid of my mortgage? And the deal was effectively something like, hey, I got a 30-year mortgage, like so many of us have done in our lives. Okay. And I'm several years into that mortgage. I might be 5, 6, 7 years into the 30-year mortgage. Well, am I better off if I can afford a higher payment, a little bit higher payment? Should I refinance this into a 15-year mortgage? So a shorter amortization schedule. Would I be better off just making extra payments and paying down the mortgage debt? Think about that for a second. You've got this, arguably the biggest debt we're going to have, the biggest bill that we have as Americans. Now, by the way, healthcare is competing for this number one slot, but the biggest bill besides taxes, by the way, has to do with our mortgage. And I know that over time, and I've done research on this, that getting rid of a mortgage is one of the most fiscally or financially freeing and psychologically beneficial thing you can do when it comes to your finances. It was research that pointed me to this. I asked in my study of almost 1,500 retirees around 46 different states, and the about if you had a mortgage, how much was left, how many years to pay off, and the data was very clear. As years to pay off mortgage comes down, so if somebody has 5 years left versus 15 years left, happiness levels go up. Hey, light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to get rid of this mortgage, but how do you really do it? And this, again, is not the exercise here. And this question from an AJC reader is not about the lowest payment. The question is about the lowest amount of out-of-pocket or lowest amount of interest that I'm paying over time. How do I do that? How do I accomplish that? So think of it this way. If you are paying down a mortgage and you're 5, 6, 7 years into a 30-year, and interest rates are where they are today, which are maybe lower than where you started, is it a good idea to downshift to a 15-year mortgage and get those payments, get the mortgage paid off even quicker, or just make extra payments to do so? That was the dilemma. We'll call him Refi Ralph. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what I'll name in my AJC column, because it's about a refinancing mortgage. So let's call him Refi Ralph. Here's the mortgage dilemma. I'm 52, refinanced a loan 6 years ago. I'm about 6 years into a 30-year at 4.25%. Do I refinance to a 15? House value about $400,000, and I've got about $275,000 left on the loan, $275,000 left on my mortgage. That current principal and interest payment's about $1,500 a month. Would refinancing just restart me paying all this interest all over again? Or is that sunk money? What do I do moving forward? Is there a formula for riding out a mortgage versus refinancing? What a good question. Now, I'm going to give you a quick this is a real life disclaimer. You got to put a disclaimer in everything we write. We have to. But this is a very real life disclaimer. Mortgage calculations are complex, and they're dependent on, there are a lot of variables here. You've got your personal credit, you've got your interest rate movements, you've got the mortgage provider, the closing costs, you've got your income and your cash flow scenario. So Are you able to make higher payments to shave down on interest over time? So there's a lot of different variables here. But this scenario that I just brought up, do I just pay this thing down a little bit extra every month or do I refinance? That's a pretty common mortgage situation or question. So ultimately, you have to run these exact numbers with your mortgage advisor, see what works best for you. And that's my real life disclaimer. But let's look at these main variables to understand what refi Ralph should do. Well, we've got his current rate versus what he could get in a new rate. And that is going to be a big part of this equation here. And then the number of years in the new term that he's able to pay. Does he do a 30-year at a lower rate or a 15-year? Now, I'm going to also talk about a disclaimer. We all know that we can get a lower payment. So we started with a $300,000 mortgage, and now the balance is down to $275,000, and I'm 6 years in. If you restart back to a 30-year, your payments, yes, will be less because it's on a lower amount than you started with. But you just restart the interest clock, and then you pay more interest over time. Now, if you need to because of your financial situation, you want to have a lower payment, then that's something you can do. I don't recommend it. You want to keep these mortgages, the amortization schedule, as short as humanly possible because you pay less interest to the bank in order to do so. So yes, you've got closing costs. That's part of the equation. But what I want to talk about here is really looking at the cumulative mortgage payments over the life of the loan. And there's really three ways we can do this. Refi Ralph can do this three ways. Of course, you just pay the whole thing off, and that's how you save the most interest, of course. Right? But most people in America can't just take the checkbook out and write a check for $275,000 and get rid of the mortgage. My rule of thumb in my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, in the mortgage section, I talk about what's called the one-third rule. The one-third rule is if you can take one-third of your after-tax money, not retirement money, and pay off the mortgage, go ahead and do it. But most Americans have the bulk of their assets in retirement funds. And you don't want to pull money, a big chunk of money out of an IRA or 401k, because then you have a huge tax bill in order to do so. It's not a good idea to use your retirement money to pay off a big chunk of the mortgage. If it's $10,000, $15,000, sure. But if it's $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, you don't want to use your retirement money to do that. It's too big of a tax bill. So one-third or less of your after-tax money, pay it off. That's easy. But not that many folks can do that. So here are the two real options that Refi Ralph has. Shift to a 15-year with a lower rate because, from what I can tell here, and I went out to the mortgage community, I talked to 5-6 different mortgage advisors on this, you can get a lower rate. So he's at 4.25. I got quotes back from multiple mortgage providers that were in the 3.5 range down to 3, all the way down to 3.125. So let's use that example. So certainly lower than the 4.25 where Ralph is today. So think about this. Now you're starting to think, okay, well, what's my rate? Well, what can I do today? Well, 15, you can do a sub, call it a 3.5% or even lower than that refinance in the interest rate environment that we see today. So today, if he shifted from his 30-year amortization schedule, he's got 23 years left. But if you downshift this to a 15-year, his payment's going to go up, less years to pay back the loan, to up by about $440 a month. So his payment's going to go from about $1,500 a month to about $1,900 a month. Total principal and interest payments over the life of the loan, about $345,000. I'm rounding here so you can grasp this. It's hard over radio, I know. But call it total interest payments over that loan, about $345,000. You got to add in what he's already paid on this loan, which is about $125,000. So the total amount of the new 15-year loan, in addition to what he's already paid, about $470,000. Now, we've got to do a quick break. When we come back, I want to compare that to staying with the original loan, just making extra principal payments. What's a better deal? Let's get to a final verdict when it comes to what should Refi Ralph do so you can start thinking about the best way for you to pay down your mortgage. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. More Money Matters right here, 95.5 WSB, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. You've been thinking, hey, wait a minute, what should Refi Ralph do? We all want to get rid of the mortgage. Now, some of us have, and that's wonderful. It's a happy retiree thing to do. It takes financial stress and burden off your life. But what's the best way to do it? We just talked about how you could shift to a 15-year loan, for Refi Ralph. Remember, if you just tuned in, he has 275 left on the loan. He was 30-year mortgage. He's paid it down for about 6 years. If he refied to a lower rate and a shorter term, 15-year term, his total interest over that time, I'm going to round these numbers, to about $470,000 over what he's paid over the whole life of the loan, the 30 and then switching to the 15. Now let's compare that to effectively creating his own 15-year mortgage by increasing the payments. He'd have to take his payment of $1,475 and add about $600 to that payment. So it'd take his payment total up to about $2,100 a month. If you looked at the cost of the loan over time, it's going to cost him about $495,000. So this is, you compare those two numbers, $495 to make extra payments versus $470, the lower cost, lower or shorter term mortgage, $495 for the making his own extra payments versus $470 for the refi. So the final verdict here, the 15-year loan at 3.125 saves Ralph about $25,000. It's probably worth doing it in my book. So the bottom line here is if you look at more the different mortgage payoff scenarios, you got to consider the following. In most cases, if you can save about 0.5% or more on your rate, and you've got 20 years or more left on that original loan, then I think it's a good idea to look at refinancing your existing mortgage to a shorter 15-year term. I'll say it again. If you can save 0.5% on the loan, I think it's very worth looking at downshifting the years to a shorter refinanced 15-year rate or 15-year mortgage. Lower rate, less years, likely worth the effort. If you're already in a relatively low interest rate, and your refi only saves or saves you less than 0.5%, then it may be better just to simply increase the monthly payments towards principal and create your own shorter mortgage. So think of it, the rule of thumb here is save 0.5% shorter term. I think it might make sense. Similar rate, may want to just make extra payments. And by the way, I love that Bankrate has a wonderful early mortgage payoff calculator. And I think it's an easy way for you to look at, hey, how do I pay this thing off in 15 years? Is it going to cost me $300, $400, $500? And you can go into the calculator and just make a plan. Maybe it's a 2020 resolution. In 2020, I'm going to make a new plan, create my own shorter amortization schedule to get rid of the mortgage. It's one of the five pillars of happy retirees that I wrote about many years ago. And it still, to this day, is an important piece of the equation. So thank you for being with us. Remember, we've got Clark Howard Christmas Kids. You've got two locations to go to. We've got the Walmart in Marietta on Cobb Parkway. They are there now. Clark's about to go on the air. And then the Walmart in Lilburn on Lawrenceville Highway. Help us shop for Christmas for the 10,000 foster children here in the state of Georgia. And have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet. Of course, right here, 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk.